Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through His Word. Blessings.
I'm going to draw your attention to a story in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 19 that I've preached from many, many times. But I'm going to use it today in reference to Christmas. So we're looking at the Gospel according to Luke chapter 19, and we'll begin with verse 1. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but he could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. And I might add, there's nothing wrong with being of short stature. However, it could pose a problem when you're in a crowd of people. And we see that here with Zacchaeus. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, "He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." And then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." The story of Zacchaeus is not one that we would typically relate to the Christmas story or even think about during the Christmas season. But I actually see some relevancy here and some familiar elements. For example, Zacchaeus was surrounded by a busy crowd that hindered him from seeing Jesus. And that's often the story during the Christmas season. We read here, "And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd." Things seem to be more crowded and busy during the Christmas season. And many just pass right through the Christmas season without even thinking about the true meaning of the season, the reason for the season. They pass through, the crowds just pass through and never really see Jesus. Jamie and I spent Christmas in the year 2005. We were in Paris, France. during Christmas. And we were there because our daughter was finishing up her study. She was a French major. She was there, living there in Paris. And there's a famous street in Paris, perhaps the most famous street in all of the world, the Champs-Élysées. I'm going to try to pronounce that for you, make it sound like I know what I'm talking about this morning. But this street is amazing because it's 270 feet wide, and each side of the street where people can walk, each side is 65 feet wide. And so we were there, and I mean, it was so decorated. There were trees and lights and decorations and all these crowds of people just walking. And I couldn't help think, especially in a country like France, I couldn't help but think, how many of these people who are here today, how many of them will even give one thought to Jesus? How many of these people are seeing Jesus in all of this? So Zacchaeus couldn't see Jesus for a time because of the crowds. And I'm just suggesting to you today, as we look at this story, the crowded world can be a problem for us. The world can be a problem for us. And I'm going to come back to that here in a moment. But we see the busy crowds, and another familiar element here during the Christmas season is a tree. Zacchaeus climbed up into a tree, and obviously it wasn't a Christmas tree, but that's my point this morning. It was just a tree. And for a lot of people during this time of year, the Christmas tree is just a tree. In fact, many people refer to it as a holiday tree. If it's a holiday tree, why not put it up on the 4th of July or some other holiday? A Christmas tree, to me, has a lot of significance. It's a symbol of life, the evergreen. It's a symbol of light. And the light, the lights that we put upon the tree represents the light of Jesus coming into the world. Then we put presents under the tree. Then we think about the gift, the present that God gave us when Jesus was born. It's all about Him and the tree should point to Him. We also refer to the cross as a tree that Jesus died on for the sins of the world. And so in this story, we have a busy crowd, we have a tree, we have giving and receiving. Isn't that what Christmas is all about? Giving and receiving. So He made haste and came down and received Him joyfully. Zacchaeus received from Jesus. And then he gave to others. He said, "Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor." And so I point out some of these factors, these elements to you this morning. But in this message that the Lord laid on my heart this week, I want to share with you four steps on how we can see Jesus this Christmas season and beyond. Step number one, desire. It all begins with desire. For Zacchaeus, it began with desire. Zacchaeus had a burning desire. I have to get to Jesus. I have to see Jesus. He did whatever it took Because he had a desire to see him. God says in his word, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. If we have to have a desire. Do you have a desire to draw closer to him? Do you have a desire today to see him? Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in. But he's not going to open the door for you. You have to do it. You have to have a desire to respond to that invitation. I want you to look at this here in John chapter 12. Some Greeks were among those who had gone to Jerusalem to worship during the festival, the scripture tells us here. And they went to Philip. And they said this, sir, we want to see Jesus. We wish to see Jesus. We have a desire to see Jesus. Do you have that desire today? Zacchaeus had a desire to see Jesus, and I believe that desire led him not only to see Jesus with his physical eyes, but Zacchaeus ended up seeing Jesus, I believe, with the eyes of his heart. And that's, hear me today, this is what we're talking about. Look at this prayer that Paul prayed for the church in Ephesians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul said, I keep asking that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. See, I'm talking here about desire, a desire to know Him, to see Him. Paul said, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people. What do people see during this time of year? People go through this season, this busy time, and they see the lights. They see Christmas trees. They see presents. They see scenes like we're going to have the nativity. My friend and former parishioner over across the river in Newport, they had their nativity scene. We're going to have one at the end of this week. And it's great because we could walk people through. They point them to Jesus. They can see some of this as a reminder. But here's the thing. No one will ever experience the true meaning of Christmas until the eyes of faith and the eyes of the heart are opened. That revelation comes. God, the Holy Spirit, leads a person to a place where their heart is opened. Their eyes are opened. And they can see Him. They can see the true meaning of this time of year. The only time some people even give any thought at all to Jesus is during Christmas, and then they just think of, oh, the little baby. They think of the Christmas story, and maybe it doesn't go any further than that. Or some people might say, yeah, he was born into the world, and then he became a man, and he was a good man. Jesus was a good man, And he said some good things, and he had a positive impact on the world, but that's as far as it goes. What I'm saying to you today is if we're going to really see Him, the babe of Bethlehem, if we're going to really see Him, then we need to see Him the way the Bible describes Him. We need to see Him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We need to see Him as the eternal Logos, the Word of God that was made flesh, Emmanuel. God with us. So I personally believe that Zacchaeus, when he saw Jesus that day, something great was going on there. He not only just saw Jesus, but he received Jesus with joy. And then Jesus said to him, "Salvation has come to this house, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." And then in verse 5, we find that the ones who were witnessing this, they said, "Zacchaeus is a sinner." And they began to criticize the religious spirit. Have you ever noticed some people are just, they have the gift of being a joy buster? Anything that God does, they're there to throw some cold water on it to keep it from happening. And these religious types, they said, "What's up with this? Here, Jesus is calling this man who's a known sinner, and he's going to his house to be a guest at his house." And they began to criticize. How many of you think that mattered to Zacchaeus? I mean, when you get saved and when Jesus comes in and that joy comes into your heart, you don't care what other people think. Zacchaeus knew is that he met Jesus. And Jesus saw him. And here's the thing today, folks. Listen to me. This is important to understand this. Jesus saw Zacchaeus before Zacchaeus saw Jesus. So you may be here today and maybe you're having troubles spiritually and you're having trouble praying, you're having trouble seeing God, and know this. He sees you. God sees you. He knows everything about you. And he knows what you're going through. And he just as he saw Zacchaeus, he sees you, he's calling you, he's inviting you to come. But you have to have a desire. You have to have a desire for God. That's where it begins, with that desire to follow him, to be a joyful disciple, to receive him joyfully. Number two, let me move on. So the first word I want to talk about today is desire. Secondly, determine. Determine to go higher. Determine to rise above this world. Don't let this world defeat you. Don't let this world, the crowds of the world, keep you from seeing Jesus. Go higher. Climb until you see him. Determine that you're going to do whatever it takes to see Jesus. That's what Zacchaeus did. And for him, it was climbing up into a sycamore tree. For you today, it might be just saying, "Time out. I've been running, going full blast. Time out. I'm going to take some time to be alone with Jesus." That's what this is all about this time of year. Determine that you're going to separate yourself and spend some time with him. That's what Zacchaeus did. Because you see, the world can be a problem for us as believers. The Bible says, "Come out from among them and be separate." Jesus said to us, "You're in the world, but you're not of it." Listen to this. "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." You see, God has called us out. That's what the church is. That's what the literal meaning of the church is. We're called out. God has called us out as His people, as His church. We've been spiritually baptized into the body of Christ. We're part of His body. We're part of the church. We'll have some at the end of the service that have decided that First Baptist of St. Mary's is where God has called them to be. They're joining with us. And that's great. It's wonderful. I believe that's what we ought to do. But more important is that we're members of His body. That's what the church is all about. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. But here's the problem with a lot of people. They'll go through Christmas. They may acknowledge Christmas is about the birth of Jesus. But they're still part of the crowd. They're still part of the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life still rules in their lives. And therefore, this time of year, it's just a thing of materialism. It's just another holiday for some people. But for us as His people, we know the reason for this season that we celebrate. Here's a third point that I'd like to make in this message today, in this pre-Christmas message. Demonstrate. I want to use the word demonstrate. Demonstrate your joy. I'll tell you what, when Jesus comes into your life, you talk about joy. The Bible talks about joy unspeakable and full of glory. Zacchaeus, his heart was filled with joy. He received Him joyfully. And when the Lord comes into our lives, we need to demonstrate that relationship with joy. So He made haste and came down and received Him joyfully. I know we probably have all seen this acrostic spelling the word joy. Joy is Jesus, number one, others, and then you. Jesus, others, you. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, and behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, they said to the shepherds, and they said to one another, this was what Adam was referencing earlier. And I love that because it says, "Let us now go. Let us now go to Bethlehem and see for ourselves. Have eyes to see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen Him, they made widely known, I love that, widely known, the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at the things which were told them by the shepherds. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Now look at this last part here. "For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." What we're talking about here, the Christmas message is one of joy. That joy ought to just fill our hearts, and then we ought to be demonstrating that joy to the world. Joy to the world! The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart, and I pray that your heart would be open today. Let every heart prepare him room. Make room for Jesus in your life. Make room for him in your heart. Demonstrate your joy in receiving him. One final point that I want to make, and I'll be brief with this. I want to have a time of prayer at the end of this message, and then we'll be receiving new members into our fellowship. But here's the last word that I would like to draw your attention to, the word distribute. Because here's the thing, we need to distribute our blessings, the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. The Apostle Paul said, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And that's what happened to Zacchaeus. He received that joy into his heart. Jesus received him. And then he said, Lord, look, here I give half my possessions to the poor. So he not only received blessings from the Lord, but then he distributed those blessings to others. And that's what Christmas is about. God demonstrated his love to us, and that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died on the cross for us. God gave... How many of you know today you can't outgive God? Does anybody know that? Think about this. What did God give to us? What is Christmas all about? He gave us the answer. He bridged the gap for us. And Jesus being born into this world, then dying on the cross, and then being raised from the dead and ascending to the right hand of the Father, he made atonement for our sins. We owed a debt we could not pay. He paid a debt he didn't owe. He gave all that he could give to us. And so I pray today that we would be seeking to see Jesus even more during this time of year, and really, not just during Christmas, but every day that we live. Would you join me in prayer now as we bow our heads before the Lord?
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through His Word. Blessings.